This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Across the 40 of the Giants. Here he goes, racing down the left sideline. Calvin Austin is in for the score.
That was the call last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers take care of the New York Football Giants. Steelers radio as Calvin Austin has a night. And Russell Wilson now 2-0. The Steelers are 6-2. Heading into the bye, the Giants fall to 2-6. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby Belt on the home of the Cowboys. Jerry Jones will join us live at 8:30. Are you worried about the weather outside, RJ?
You know, I'm worried for one reason. Rain usually means, at this time of year, usually means a cold front's happened. The weather changed. I like where we are right now.
Shut up.
Okay, I like where You know, I want to have...
I've never wanted to leave Texas more than the length of this summer. Yesterday... watching that Yankee game made me so bitter, so ticked off. I'm like, oh, there's people in the crowd with like beanie hats on. They're wearing It was 53 degrees at first pitch. 53 degrees. I want out. Jerry, make us famous again at 8:30. Get me up out of here.
Oh, he'll get you up out of here. Don't you worry.
All right, so the Steelers win on Monday Night Football. Let's go around the rest of the National Football League. RJ Choppy and myself... I think we're in lockstep on this.
We are.
We are going to defend the person that everyone in the sports world is absolutely killing. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson checked out of the game. Wasn't hurt. Wasn't concussed. Anthony, what happened?
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
Unfortunately for Anthony, not only can no one ever recall that happening in the history of the National Football League, really, from a quarterback, but his body language looked lazy. His answer sounded lazy. Everything about his delivery in that was lazy. So that's not helping his case. Being like, I got to be honest, man. I'm tired. Now,
he was burned out, man.
Chop, I asked you for the sequence of events that led up to that.
Yeah, it was like, okay, so it was.
It's unacceptable is what it is. Yeah.
There was a timeout right before. Like
there was an injury timeout 2 plays before. There was a penalty the next one, which means the 2 previous plays, there was a stoppage. And then he got sacked, and then he pulled himself out.
He got sacked.
He didn't like go on a 40-yard run.
He was running around a lot, like to avoid the sack. So he's going left, right, back, forward, back.
Okay.
So he did run around a lot, and then my assumption is that he gets tackled, and his adrenaline is just spiked at that moment, and it was just overwhelming.
Yeah.
But. My thought on this, and I get it, all right, I get it, but there's, when he took himself out of the game, and this is one of the things, a major part of these radio shows that I have a problem with in national, NBA players do this all the time. They're gassed, tap the head, right?
Not NBA, football players do.
Football players tap their helmet all the time.
Run a go route, 3 straight carries.
Yeah. Quarterbacks never do that. We are in a different era of quarterbacks, though. We are in an era of the running quarterback.
Yeah.
The two-way quarterback. This is not, you know, a quarterback who just drops back and passes.
Yeah.
But they take a pitcher out when he's gassed, right? He's tired, take him out. Simple. They never take quarterbacks out of the game. They do this, in the NBA. In the NHL, they run shifts 45 seconds to a minute and a half. And then in the NFL, like you just said, I mean, not every player is playing all 70 snaps.
All right, before you destroy us, in this instance with what you described, it is unacceptable. But let me change it. Let's say Anthony Richardson ran for 20, ran for 25, and then ran for 30. could he do this? Could he pull himself out for
the
a play
80
or
yards
two?
On three plays right there. Heck yeah.
Or, you know, 15, 25. He, yeah. you know, has Mike McCarthy's GPS on, avoiding a sack. He clearly gassed and tired. Could he pull himself out?
No.
Why?
Because that why is not? Why you...
There's no difference between a receiver off, and running back doing it.
First off, Mr. 4-Day Workweek, I'm not surprised that he has this take. You, I'm not surprised you have this take either, because this is the first time I've seen the girl dad come into the workplace here. Right
Anthony
here.
Richardson
this
is the a
softening.
Woman?
No, but this is the softening. This is the softening right here where you're like, look, let's extend some grace to old Anthony Richardson. He's tired. He's burned out. No, here's the thing.
No,
that is why that position gets paid $60 million.
No.
It absolutely is. That's why these running quarterbacks aren't real quarterbacks to begin with. If they need to tap out from running, no. The
you're
quarterback
a stupid
position,
coach.
You
are a stupid coach if you're going to have your absolutely gassed football player then drop back for the next run or for the next throw, unless it's a handoff.
Would you not want? Let's just say it's one play.
Uh huh.
You know, would you not want?
Plus, Joe Flacco's a better quarterback anyway.
Right. Would you not want the more fresh option to be out there?
I want a quarterback who's going to be able to maintain being on the field.
I mean, I'm sure.
Why can't a receiver check out for being gassed off a go route?
Because they're running the entire game. It's not just I went three plays in a row. They're running the entire game. It's not even comparable. Even the most. Like every quarterback that runs most, Lamar, whoever it is, you take the quarterback who runs the most in the NFL, if you had their GPS tracking numbers, it gets nowhere near what receivers run during a game.
Okay.
Nowhere
near I give you that, but if there were three straight plays that took a ton out of the quarterback from a cardiovascular standpoint, I don't think it's that. I just think because no one has done it, Richardson's just getting killed even more.
There's a reason no one's done it, though.
This series of plays, though... This is pretty bad. I have to go look at the scramble to see if it's some unbelievable 15-18 second scramble.
Bobby, third and goal at the 23. They weren't scoring from there anyway.
It's also fourth quarter in a divisional game that's within reason, and you settled for a field goal. Late third quarter. It was almost fourth quarter. Late third quarter, you settle for a field goal in a divisional game that you need. Like, to me, that's... If I have a quarterback that will need to tap out, then you're not the quarterback for me. If you're going to walk out of a divisional game.
If you have a cardiovascular argument, fine. I'm not going to fight that. Receivers run more. But if you're going to give me, you're the quarterback, that's stupid. That's just being dense and using history to not for the more fresh player for this big play... Let's go ahead and not have the guy totally complete that's gassed in and have me change the play call because of his lungs. That's not that big of a scramble.
They handed the ball off on the next play. You needed to sub in a new quarterback to hand the ball off. Like there's ways you can do this without tapping your quarterback out. That's absurd. Any quarterback's coming.
Should
out of the
I
game
sacrifice
for
a play? Should I change what I want to do with one play? Because I guess you are with the backup coming in anyway. But look, the NFL world is obviously believing what Bobby said, and so are other players. People are like they're questioning the Shane Steichen. Can this be your dude? And Steichen was non-committal about the next star. We all know that Joe Flacco is better than Anthony Richardson. We all know that Joe Flacco could give them a legitimate shot at the playoffs. We all know that. Everyone knows that except for the Cleveland Browns, who freaking had the guy last year. They're only doing this to find out about Richardson. Just like Jameis, Deshaun, everyone knew Jameis should have been playing over Watson for the spark and a different type of change. But this thing is having major, major ripple effects.
Well, and we had talked about, leading up to the draft, we talked about Anthony Richardson. And I remember that we had mentioned it on the air. The people that I talked to around the league had two different views on Anthony Richardson. They were like, they don't know if he's ever been taught how to work, right? Like the question was, what kind of work ethic is he going to have here at, you know, in the NFL? So because he was such a freak and a lot of people felt like the Florida coaching staff wasn't great, they're like, we don't know that he's ever been taught how to work the right way and that might be due to some of the habits. The problem was there were other people who said, he is a bad worker. He is last one in, first one out every day. And
another
this right
college
here,
quarterback that Will Chambers nailed.
This right here is last one in, first one out energy that Anthony Richardson's giving. And I would absolutely, for somebody like going, I'm burned out, pull me out, like I would absolutely bench Anthony Richardson. And with teams more frequently moving on from bad evaluations at quarterback in recent years, where they're saying I'll bail on it after year two, I would be Nope, he's sitting, and I'm not exposing him to the league anymore. I'm looking for a way to trade him this offseason.
What has happened to the New York Yankees? The Mavs are good enough to survive off Luka and Jerry Jones all around the corner. Tolo Tuesday with Sean and RJ continues on The Fan.
And the breaking ball, there it goes. Deep left center field, and Teoscar is there to make the catch. Oh, did I get fooled on that? What with that swing and the ball majestically going to left field, Susan, I actually thought it was going to be out, and it wasn't close.
Man, I'm getting a little tired of this. I know we're supposed to be laughing. I know we're supposed to be making fun of the Yankees. I blame the New York Yankees for this. Stop putting this man in this position. I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
Like Francesa. These New York old broadcasters can't freaking leave and step away.
No.
And so they're so desperate because they have to throw in Craig Carton and then BT Brandon Tierney to try to do play-by-play. No one can. You can't get anyone else. The Dodgers found Joe Davis to replace Vin Scully. You got no one else, so you got to get Sterling off of his couch to mess up these line drive trajectories.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Have K do the radio. Work something out.
They really should have. He's 86 years old.
K sucks.
John Sterling's 86 years old.
Doesn't suck.
And he can't, obviously he can't see. And like,
Mess up the trajectories. Yeah. I thought the judge shot yesterday was going to be gone off the bat.
Right. I mean, it hit the end of the bat, obviously, and that's why it didn't go. But
can they get a baseball spotter who can, like for football, right? Brad Sham used the yards, the distance, whatever. Can they get a baseball spotter just to judge it off the bat and give the quick, like, up or down to John to judge the call as it goes?
It's so quick. It's so quick.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those things. You know, if you ever ask, like, what's your gift that you just can't get paid for that you are really good at? That's, for me, it's it. It doesn't matter where.
Oh, you think you're good at guessing it.
I will challenge Sandler on a home run guessing. I will wipe the floor with him. I'll tip him upside down, and I'll use that little weird mop of hair that he's got working right now, and I will mop the floor with him.
We need to,
on a home run guessing contest.
We need to find video clips of
10.
Fly ball outs, and half of them are fly ball outs, half of them are home runs, and you're going to have to judge.
Now, are you talking, by the way?
In the stadium, not on TV. On TV is impossible.
Okay, I was going to ask
you. It's got to be in the stadium.
Dodgers over the Yankees. LA doubles up New York 4-2. The Dodgers now up 3 games. To nothing. Yeah, so you're saying it has to be in the stadium?
Oh, in the stadium. It's got to be
certain
in the stadium.
Views, angles, or doesn't matter?
You know what? I could be in the upper deck. I'll tell you what. I'll let him be hot behind home plate. I'll be in the last row in left field in the upper deck, and I'll be able to do this.
Oh!
I am that good. So, I am elite. I am an elite home run guesser.
So the only way, so you're telling us the setting has to be something we can't verify on command.
Well, I mean, on TV, it's impossible to do it on TV because you don't see the ball.
So when these guys are doing the game there, are they doing it off of a TV in their booth? Or
he might be.
Yeah.
He might be because he can't see. I don't know. I would assume they're not, but he might be. But, he screwed the team up because he should have retired last year. They didn't have anybody to fill in.
Yeah.
So they're just like, we're just going to roll these guys out, and they'll find somebody for next year. I think they're going to take the Mariners guy. Dave Sims.
Didn't Mike tell us, like, I feel like he mentioned that in Crosstalk one time, that typically, because of at least in Texas, you watch the swing on the screen and then immediately turn your eyes to the field.
And then some guys, it depends on the stadium, you might be able to look at the, because that they have the, I think it takes like a half a second, if that, they have the StatCast stuff up on the board already. Launch angle, speed, and you could tell just based on the launch angle and the speed whether it's going to go or not. But that was it. I mean, look, but you're right. I mean, it's sad. It really is sad. They put him in a terrible position.
Yeah.
And the team is the team stinks right now. Their two biggest things they had going for them, they had better starting pitching going in. The Dodgers have pitched better, and the Yankees they live off home runs, and they really haven't hit home runs. And Aaron Judge can't hit. And Fat Joe is terrible.
Gosh, I'm glad you brought that up. Was I the now? I didn't see the Ice Cube performance.
It was great. Ice Cube was fantastic.
When did they start letting people go out there and perform on the field?
This year, they decided to do it. They may have done it. I don't remember them doing it last year. But New York and LA, the two hip hop communities, they got together before this series. They were like, "Let's go do this, right? It's going to be cool." Well,
it's not
I don't
cold, soft.
What's that?
The New York and LA communities come back. Tupac would never.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, the New York one, because New York, of all the hip-hop artists you could have chose.
Stop
like,
romanticizing the dead, Bobby.
You chose Fat Joe. Like, I get it,
oh, man.
Right? He's from the Bronx. I get it, right? Yeah. But there's a million hip-hop artists in New York City that you could have chose. Were they so scared? Were all the other ones too connected to Diddy to put them out there?
Did you listen to it, the performance, Bobby?
No, I did not.
What was going on? It's like the earpiece or the feedback or something wasn't lining up correctly.
I was wondering if they kept turning the sound down because he was saying words you can't say.
Okay.
That was my only question.
That sounded rough.
It did. It sounded very rough. It's a new stadium. I'm sure they have, you know, relatively new. I'm sure they have better speakers than that, but that was bad.
Bob, you have other World Series numbers?
Yeah. So one of the, you mentioned earlier, the joke that was made where somebody said, there were some people saying Lou Gehrig could come out here right now and hit better for the Yankees.
Well, and Aaron Judge.
Here's the number. Aaron Judge this postseason, his batting average is 140. Lou Gehrig's batting average in 1939 with ALS was 143.
What?
So it's three.
Give an ALS comparison. Right?
That's the numbers. Literally, oh, I can't. I get it. I can't compare eras. I understand.
Yeah,
right, dead ball era. Yeah, dead ball era.
Sheesh, Bobby.
Let's go.
All right. Next one. The get in price for Game 4 of the World Series has dropped by $1,000 since the start of the series. The cheapest ticket is currently $559. At the start of the series, it was $1,600 was the get-in-the-door price for Game 4 of the World Series. And this is an insane note from Choppy's guy, John Boy. The Yankees watched 24 four-seam fastballs go by for called strikes in this game. That's the most by them in a single game this season, and it's the second most by any team in Major League Baseball this season.
I don't know. First of all, I don't know why anybody would throw Aaron Judge a fastball. I mean, his hip is in the third base dugout trying to flail at those. He's like Javi Baez out there trying to flail at those breaking balls. They're going to put him in Bonds Pittsburgh category or Kershaw. Territory and
fair,
sure. I mean, how can it not be? He's not hitting, like, he doesn't hit. And you know, it is a small
sample. Fine if it's a series,
it's fine if it's a series.
The postseason,
this has been every postseason since basically 2020 where he's hit.
Okay, so he has a larger reputation than just this. It's been bad.
This is worse, but it's been bad. I mean, it's been very, very bad. I mean, he's got a lot of home runs. I think he has like 15 playoff home runs, but. His batting average is awful.
Yeah, 56 career postseason games. What do you think his batting average is?
It's 170?
196.
Joey Gallo's going, ugh.
Jeez. Yeah. He's got 56 games, 15 home runs, right? 15?
Yeah.
So that's 45 home runs for the year. It's pretty good, but it's below his career numbers, and the batting average is terrible. He's not getting on base either. I mean, last night, his over-under on total bases was 1.5.
Ugh.
That's a guy who hit 60 home runs, but he's healthy. He's 1.5.
Luka went 5 of 22 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3, only scored 15 points. The Dallas Mavericks still beat the Utah Jazz. Utah's bad, 0-3. The Mavs are 2-1. Luka on the season is shooting what, would you guess?
He's off to 34%.
36.
Okay.
Pretty close. 36%. Nice buzz there, Pepe. Kyrie.
Is that from three or from overall?
Overall field.
Ooh.
Kyrie started off nicely. Klay has been exciting. This is delivered so far. 4 of 11 from 3, 18 points, and you got Lively and Dinwiddie in double figures off the bench. The Mavs are 2-1. They're going to take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight on a TV channel that hopefully everyone can see in TNT.
I get that. I checked it out. The Mavs are on TNT or ESPN or national TV 30 times the rest of the way. So of the 70, it's 30-something games. Of the 79 games they have left, or 78, you get to see about a little bit less than half of them.
Jerry Jones joins us live next on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, 105.3 The Fan. It is now time for the Jerry Jones Show every Tuesday at this time here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. First opportunity for you to hear from the owner and general manager after the Cowboys game in San Francisco. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
What were your thoughts on the game?
Well, I thought that we knew we were going out there to play a really good team. And I wish we could have eliminated the third quarter.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. But still, there were parts of that game that I really liked what we were doing under the circumstances. And most of it in the first half, I really liked the way that we came back near the end of the ball game. We gave our chance as a good play to Turpin there that if we could have made that play, that makes a big difference. But that's what you try to do in the NFL is get in a spot where with 3 minutes left to go and a timeout situation the way we had it, you've got a chance to win the game against a good team on the road.
Jerry, what did you guys evaluate as the breakdowns in that third quarter? And I think on the season, it's 61-19. You guys have been outscored in the third. What broke down the other night, and what do you think could be an overall problem coming out of the half?
You're 61-19 in the third quarter. Is that what you broke down?
Yes, sir.
In the third quarter?
Yes.
I think it's pretty easy to go. The facts are that our communication in our offensive line, we can improve on. I like our players in the offensive line, but we can improve on our communication. That's critical. That's in there. And that really played havoc with us there. Defensively, and this really has to do with my kind of point that I want to make this morning, is that I really do see that we've got the players, and we should have the players coming. Hopefully we'll get one or two of them back here against Atlanta. But I have a lot of faith in these players, and I have a lot of faith in this coaching staff. And so the big thing is that's what we've got, and that's reality. And so these players have a chance to get better. Their eras are up, not down. And I'm talking in general here. Eras are up, and this coaching staff is, I know firsthand, I spend a lot of time around them. The coaching staff's got their eye on the things that we need to improve on. We need to improve on communication across the board, and we can. That comes better as the season goes along. We'll get better with communication. And frankly, like all teams at this time, we'll have some players coming back that play critical roles for us. We ought to get better. And we're seven games into this thing, 17-game season. Let's get this thing turned around and have a storybook ending to a rough start.
Jerry Jones joined us here, 105 through the Fan. What did you think of the pick play on the touchdown?
Well, I just was so happy that we had gotten picked, and was frankly dropped my teeth when the call went against us. And I just think that they had a clearer view of it, and they gave it to the offense.
Jerry, what is it about San Fran that it seems like going into the game that just you can never seem to get over the hump with San Francisco? What is it about them that's just so difficult?
I personally, and we don't need to go way back, but one of the second times or one of the few times I've ever cried, literally cried, was the championship game that we had there at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And we lost that game, and I thought we had a great team, and we lost it when Switchell was our coach, and our Dion was a 49er, and we came back there, and I thought we had a chance to win it after a disastrous start. So I can go that far back with you on what San Francisco has meant to us. We've had some great days in San Francisco. I'll go back pretty far to have those great days, but They're a great franchise. They're formidable. We've got a great history with them. I don't think they've been to more playoff, more championship games than we have. But I think we're both needing to see a Super Bowl in the participation area.
Jerry, you know, Dak seems to be a little hesitant to run with the ball this year, and the numbers show that he's had kind of a decline in terms of the number of rushing attempts he has each game. Is it a symptom of Dak's just not able to run like he used to, or is he choosing not to?
I think it's both. You really don't want to see him really take off with that ball. These guys, these quarterbacks that run, you know they're going to get injured, and that happens. And happens to the youngest, happens to the best. It's happened to Dak. And so to the end that as we rely on him to stay healthy, that's an important part of it. I wouldn't say it's up there in red letters in the practice facility, don't run, but I would say that we want him to be smart about it, and he is being smart about it. However, he will, when he sees the opportunity, pull it down and run with it, as we know. And with the situation the other night, you could say, well, when does making yards count any more than that? It's easy to see. It's easy to compare. And as cricket, that's fair. When the opposing quarterback you've got is really complementing what they're doing with their offense, with his running. But I'm satisfied with Dak in terms of his ability to run is there. There's no question about that as far as him physically. He can run, and if we look back on it, you'll see times this year. But we want Dak in the future to do the kind of job with his arm and get the ball out to the outside. You see us trying to do that a lot. Make up for anything we might want to do risky. I don't want to see him take those kinds of hits.
Jerry, you know, you gave out a lot of big cash in long-term contracts to your core guys this offseason. Do you keep a constant sort of week-by-week evaluation on whether you're getting good return on your investment, or do you prefer to consider those sort of things at the end of the season when you get a complete picture?
Well, neither. Neither one of them. I basically was well aware of our commitment to Lamb and well aware of our commitment to Dak. They were really the principal reason you saw that all-in thing so much. I wanted to make that commitment with Dak. And to answer your question, I don't look at it. Matter of fact, I'm not so sure I look at anything as succinctly as that game or that situation has given you, well, the kind of return. I've always looked at the dollars we spend in football and on the roster. I've always looked at them as scholarships. And you give one player five scholarships. If it were college vernacular, you give another player one scholarship. The more guys you can have out there with one scholarship, the better off you are because of attrition. Our game is built in that you're going to lose, and you got to have people behind them to play. And you can, when you give a lot of scholarships to any one player, then in terms of your cap, in terms of the dollars, then that's about much less you've got to give to another player. But we're seeing right now, in some degree, the system at its best as far as the impact it can have. And it's your depth. You've got to bring that depth forward. And when you've used a lot of your scholarship money on several players, then that depth's got to be young. Not necessarily not talented, but young. Young means more mistakes, always. Young means less ability to communicate out there until they get it down. So that's the way I look at it.
Do you ever get buyer's remorse?
No, not at all. You know, yesterday is as dead as Napoleon. can't get yesterday back anymore, you can go get Napoleon. It's today, right now, and going forward. Always going forward. Can't do one thing about that San Francisco game today. Now, the things that impacted the San Francisco game, if you have a chance to get better there, which you can, then that's what you should be looking at. The other day when we had a dust-up here on our program, a part of my response had to do with I'm spending, if you recall, I'm spending looking at today, I'm looking ahead at that day. That was looking ahead at, if you will, San Francisco even. And that's where your attention's got to be spent.
Jerry, as owner and GM, you've obviously made sure to put a team of people around you that you trust with various areas of expertise to make sure, hey, we're fielding the best team possible. Are there times when you say, hey, I've got this decision before me. I feel one way, but the guys in the bunker kind of feel another way. I'm going to trust them. I'm going to go that direction despite seeing it differently.
Yes. Yes, there are. That's why I have them if you're not going to do that. And I happen to know that their decisions don't have to be right. And when they've made a decision, but the reason I know that is how many I've made that aren't right. And so that's, you know, we discussed this before right here, that you're 50-50 on decisions when you're clicking. It's what you do with the bad decisions after you make them, how you work out of those, and how you let your good ones run long and get rid of your bad ones or make them work when they shouldn't be working. And that's been my experience.
So, Jerry, you have said consistently as owner and GM, the buck has to stop with you because of those titles. But when you decide to trust that consensus over maybe how you felt about something and the consensus ends up being wrong, why shouldn't those negative outcomes potentially be the responsibility of the people who advised it?
Well, they should. They absolutely should. And the buck does stop. And Mike is here, and I'm glad he's here, frankly, Mike McCarthy. But Mike's here at my volition, and that's what you deal with when you make decisions. You guys do it every day when you get to your decision. And you can make decisions in the spot I'm in. You can make decisions by acquiescence to the decision. You can make them of your own volition, where you say, we're going this way. I know you guys see it that way. We're going this way. I've done it all my life.
Jerry Jones here on Sean and RJ every Tuesday, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. By the way, how's the family after the accident, and what is a rising barrier? What the hell is that?
Well, as you enter these high-profile areas, and your stadiums are high-profile, as you enter those nowadays, if a car goes in within a certain distance to the stadium, it's highly protected. And in this particular case, they've got lifts that can, frankly, if the trigger is flipped, can stop a car in its tracks. And this is the case, and comes up under the car. In this particular case, the car was totally busted, all the frame, everything. It's tremendous force, like if a small explosion had gone off under there. Tremendous. And those were the things that created the injuries. And I think my daughter's wasn't feeling as good as she hoped she'd feel yesterday and today. My son, who was concussed, is feeling better.
That's good to hear. Jerry, I was very impressed with Micah and Trayvon Diggs yesterday. They were giving explanations and why there's probably an overreaction to 3-4, and they were just really upbeat and positive. When you guys are struggling, how often do you check in on the emotion of the locker room versus, you know, just X's and O's and on the field assignments? And are you doing that right now? Are you like, hey, how are the guys when you're in your meetings? How much do you judge and check in on the emotional part versus on the field?
So much of that is spontaneous. So much of that is you can't fake that stuff. It's real. These guys have a lot on the line, even the ones that weren't in the game that are part of this team and maybe going to be on the field the next week. They're very involved in the aspect of their position as a part of a team. And everybody has their own way of dealing with it. Some people are vocal, some people aren't. You have your own, you can show frustration, manifest itself in a lot of ways. For me, it doesn't, in a tight time, to see emotion. But more importantly, that coupled with doing something about it, that is a big deal. And people show that emotion differently. But boy, this is an emotional game, and it shows me when I see that kind of frustration. I don't look at it negatively. I look at it as they're into it. And believe you me, these players today uniquely are so involved in social media that they hear everything that's whispered because social media does that. And so they're very, very sensitive. You could shut a lot of this stuff out when you want to shut it out. Now, I don't believe there's anybody living that wants to be dealing with adversity. You'd rather it be smooth sailing all the time. That's not this game. That's not this game with the media. You guys, you do a great job. You're probing. You're into it. Those probes into it. You ask questions that these guys are fair game, and they should be. They're fair game. It's not like meeting up with somebody on the street. And your questions can run deep. That's what they do. They're out there to do what it is that they may be unhappy with themselves, and it's being pointed out by media, which you represent the fans. That's the way it goes.
Jerry, you brought up social media there, and Trayvon Diggs got into it with a media member after the game. He went into the locker room, checked social media, saw a tweet that was posted, came out with a reaction. When you see one of your players do that, listening to the outside noise, is that an indication to you that the focus, their focus might be elsewhere?
Not at all. Not at all. They're focused on, they're disappointed that they didn't make a play, or they're they are more aware than anybody about what they might not have done, where they busted an assignment, could have made a play. So it doesn't surprise me at all. I have absolutely no compunction in dealing with emotion. Now, we all realize that we need to, if you will, have a bite your lip, where you need to, and to that end, well, you want to not overdo it. Maybe I don't even need to remind you guys. I heard you build up to the show just a minute ago, and you were on with Tarika, and you were kind of giggling about the dust up that we had. And so, bottom line is, guys, this is an emotional game, and it doesn't alarm me in any way to see the manifestation of emotion.
Jerry, I'll try to end this with a laugh. I'll say this, then duck. But Diggs, at the end of the confrontation, used a line that I was wondering if you had ever heard of before. Are you familiar at all with D's nuts?
Well, you know, there's a... in that context, no. I'd have to hear it said in context.
Okay. I'll send you the audio. I'm not going to say it to you. And I'm not going to rephrase it to you, you know.
I want to know what it looks like. I'm sitting here with a half smirk.
All right. Jerry, we appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend. Let's go get a W. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Jerry Jones, I told you he wouldn't know what it was. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. I got a quick turnaround in the conference room from Bassick. And by the way, whoever's in charge of the scheduling around here, can you not put the Mike Tirico promo while Jerry's on hold right before the Jerry interview? As Bobby and I are sitting there cringing as he's listening to Tirica talk about the interview from a few weeks ago.
And, you know, listen.
Come on, man.
There's something new. Sometimes Jerry sounds like he's lifting weights in the background. Sometimes it sounds like he's He's using the straw, the spoon with the teacup.
Yeah.
This time, he was woodworking. I don't know. Like somebody, people said it sounds like he's got a baseball bat back there. The crack of the bat, maybe. he hit more things than Aaron Judge has this entire postseason during this interview.
Bob, any takeaways?
I'll tell you what. I think it's something where I think after a couple weeks ago, we might be getting a very measured Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
for a little while.
I heard it on Friday with KMC. It was, I'm going to be complimentary of the job you guys have to do. You guys are asking tough questions, good questions. He's being very, very nice from a journalistic standpoint after what happened.
I thought it was interesting when we asked him, hey, so when you decide to turn things over to consensus and over maybe how you feel about a decision, why shouldn't those negative outcomes be the responsibility of the people that you turn that over to? And then he immediately jumped to referencing, I put Mike McCarthy here. I thought that was a little interesting. You never want to blow anything up or put words in somebody's mouth, but it's just when I talked about turning over consensus to somebody and when those are, there are failures there, how is it received? The first thing he went to is like, well, I put Mike McCarthy in place. And that made me, okay, all right, well, that sounds like, you know, maybe sometimes you've turned things over to McCarthy's decisions then.
Talked about Dak running. That was a very interesting answer. And again, he ends it with, like, I don't want to see him run around too much. He kept talking about communication with the offense. I can't wrap my brain around why there is. Now, unless it's offensive line communication with a lot of these young guys.
It's a big part of it.
But Dak, Lamb, that's where my brain goes. Dak, receivers, like, there has been some continuity around here. Both with system and players, why do we keep talking about communication? And then, of course, they're going to bring up injuries as well.
It's year two of the Galveston offense, the Texas coast, baby. It's supposed to be clicking on all cylinders.
Let's go into the dark with Aaron Rodgers and RJ with some leftover beer in the college football kegger. Final hour on a Tolo Tuesday is next.